Welcome. Are you ready to take a journey with me into knowledge, enlightenment, and discovery? Then let's journey again together. This is your host, Rebecca Jernigan, and you're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Good day to you. Today's guest is Steve Riles, Drunk with Wonder, Awakening to the God Within. We're going to talk more about Steve in just a moment. First, head on over to the website. That's journeyswithrebecca.com. Now, there you can find out more about my guest and, of course, all the latest Journeys news. Now, you know, after listening to the show, email me. Tell me what you think. That email address is mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. Now, a little quick note, I do have a winter reading special, so for your personal private reading, you can call 888-958-2768 or email me, rebecca@journeyswithrebecca.com. Now, Sandy Andrew, the author of Universal Learning Series, will be doing a book signing at Borders Bookstore. That's 5201 North Belt Highway in St. Joseph, Missouri, on February 3rd at 2 p.m. You can find out more by calling 816-279-6111 or go to universallearningseries.com. Now, back to Steve Riles, the author of the newly released Drunk with Wonder, Awakening to the God Within. It's a culmination of years of research and decades of personal experience. It's been hailed as where conversations with God meets what the bleep do we know. Now, Steve went from homeless and shooting drugs in San Francisco's Haight-Ashbury district at 17 to graduating from UC Berkeley on the Dean's List 6 years later. He has 3 college degrees, and Steve is also a minister of the Universal Life Church. He's a licensed massage therapist, Reiki therapist, and for the past 10 years, Steve has lived in the wild mountains of Northern California with his beloved wife, Joanne. Please check out his website, drunkwithwonder.com. We are going to be right back with more of Steve Riles and Journeys with Rebecca. Please stay tuned.
Hi, this is Rebecca Jernigan, host of Journeys with Rebecca. As a truly gifted psychic and clairvoyant, let me help answer your life's questions. Schedule your personal and private reading appointment with me. Call 1-888-958-2768 or log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com. Where will your life's journey lead you?
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Oh, thank you for staying with us. And as I promised today, we have a wonderful guest, Steve Riles. He's written this fabulous book, and we're going to ask him some questions about that specifically. But the name of the book today is called Drunk with Wonder, Awakening to the God Within. I want to welcome you right now, Steve, to the show. Thank you so much for being here with us.
Thank you very much, Rebecca. It's great to be here.
And I'm sitting here, and of course, you know, I've got your book, and it's a very large book, by the way. Not that that should... Some people go, oh, I can't read all them pages. I don't like to scare people off. This is a book that's very well put together. There's a lot of chapters, but it's not like each chapter is so long that you lose your train of thought as to what happened in the beginning of the chapter to get to the end of it. Very clear and concise steps that you've put in here. It's a very well thought out, well put together book, I will tell you that. And, you know, I've also asked a lot of the guests before they come on if there's, you know, a particular place they want me to start conversations, because as most people know that listen to Journeys, I don't have preset questions. It's just you and I sitting down having a conversation, and we have a living room full of people that are listening to our conversation. And you said, well, you know, one of them is the title, the name, How Did We Come to Awakening to the God Within? And the second question that I'd like to kind of get the ball rolling with is why another quote-unquote self-help book? So I'm going to kind of let you go from there, and then we're going to keep on with that line of thought.
Okay, Rebecca, thank you very much. To start with, Drunk with Wonder, Awakening to the God Within. The title Drunk with Wonder is taken from a poem I wrote a number of years ago. I've been influenced by Rumi and Hafiz, two Sufi poets who lived hundreds and hundreds of years ago, 700 years ago, and who were very much into the idea that one can become absolutely intoxicated with the power of God, with the love of God, to the point where the mundane concerns of the world fall away and we are drunk with wonder without using any other intoxicants. And that it's a place of great joy, great passion, and yet great peace. Some of those can seem like they're contradictory, but great passion and great peace are two of my favorite themes, and I love to hold them both together in my heart. Awakening to the God within is the idea that God lives in each of us. God is, in effect, each of us. And I definitely mean God Goddess. I mean the whole. The one heart beats all of our hearts. And that often when we get, I use the word lost, lost in our everyday mundane world of doing, 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 we can easily lose track of the truth of who we really are, this magnificent divine spark of God that lives in all of us. And my call, as many people call, as many of the people on Rebecca's show talk about, we're calling for a return, a reawakening to the truth of who we really are, that we are God, nothing less, and that our magnificence and the riches of the universe that are ours by birthright don't need to be at the expense of anyone else, because we're all equally divine. Now, having said that, the question, why would anyone need another self-help book, I think perhaps is fairly self-evident if we look around. There is a large market for these books, and many times people read book after book. I'm totally guilty of that. I've read hundreds of books. In fact, I have over 100 books in the bibliography at the end of my book. There are numerous resources in the back that I hope people will find useful. And I certainly learned something from every one of them. But eventually, over the years, I discovered that no matter how many books I read or how many workshops I attended, how many kinds of community gatherings, whether it was the Course in Miracles or, you know, different things as time went on, I still seemed to be pretty stuck in most of my similar patterns. To drop the waterline with you, Rebecca, and I talk about this in my book as well, I drank alcohol to excess for over 30 years. And I kept trying to figure out why I was doing it, looking for spiritual answers and looking for the resources inside myself to stop. And eventually someone asked me, or actually more like said than asked, but pointed out that there must be some major payoff for me to continue in the behaviors I was engaging in, or I would quit. And that really got me to thinking, and because it hadn't occurred to me that there was a payoff. I mean, you know, of course, there was the addiction, and there was the payoff of getting to have that fix. But eventually, through I had a very powerful experience with Ram Dass coming to our town and giving a talk after his stroke. It was almost exactly 6 years ago. And within 10 days of that, with some help from my wife, with some of her healing efforts with essential oils and affirmations and so on, I was able to stop using alcohol. I finally let go, and I realized that the payoff had been that I got to stay stuck in my small story of who I thought I was. And what I mean by that, the payoff is that I didn't have to change.
Right.
I didn't have to do anything different. I got to just keep hanging out with Steve, doing the same old stuff, which was very comfortable in many ways, and I had it set up very well. You know, I drank quality booze, and, you know, I had lots of excuses and rationalizations for why I did what I did, and I realized that if I ever wanted to write the book Drunk with Wonder, if I ever wanted to really show up in the world as the God I am and make a difference for positive transformation, I was going to have to do it differently, and that included jumping off the cliff of my fears. It included letting go of who I thought I was. And you know, there's a sense of death in that. There's actually nothing less than some sense of death. And that's why so many people struggle so mightily to affect serious change in their lives. Because if they do, there's a part of them who they've been attached to, this or that. It's really an illusion, you know, but it's a story of whatever. You know, I'm wounded, therefore I am. So if I let go of my wound, who in the world am I? And it's that kind of a loss of identity of who we thought we were that keeps many people stuck with whatever behaviors and stories are no longer really serving them.
That's a huge validation for many people out there that they do that. And you know, there's through the years I've had, you know, many clients and many people that, you know, have come and spoke with me and, you know, learned an awful lot from those people about my own self. But one of the things that I did know is that people that are in, you know, poor situations, and when I say poor, I don't mean that economically. I'm talking about whether they be sick or they're in an abusive relationship, or they're in a place in a job where they absolutely can't stand. They've been there for years. Whatever the case may be, it's still a comfort level, and for them, it's easier to stay there than it is to leave, because at least they know how to operate in it.
That's right.
They know how to operate in it. But if they leave that space, whatever that space is, then they feel like there's a part of them, that fear that holds them back, because it's a new territory. And that territory is not comfortable, because then they also have to take accountability for the choice of staying as opposed to leaving, you know, moving forward. And, you know, that's huge. It's huge for many, many people. But I can tell you, and I know you can, just hearing your own story, that comfort zone does do you no good.
Not in the long run.
Not in the long run. It is frightening to change, but once you do, then you realize, as your words were, the payoff is much greater than what you anticipated.
Right.
It's letting go of the illusion that it's a negative experience. But it is. You do lose a part of yourself, because that's who you attribute yourself to. How many people have you talked to, Steve, that will say, you say, well, so who are you? And they say, well, oh, I'm an architect. No, probably not. That's what you do for a living, but that's not who you are.
Yes, we feel blessed to be part of the spiritual community, where it isn't uncommon upon being asked that question that someone will say, well, actually, I'm a child of God.
Yeah, yeah.
And so are you.
Yeah.
But yes, out in the world, that's extremely common for us to get totally wrapped up in our stories of who we think we are.
Right.
A mother, a father, you know, a worker, a breadwinner.
Right.
An addict, you know.
Right.
Whatever it might be. And believe me, my very compassionate heart goes out to everyone who's struggling with this, because I'm speaking from experience.
Oh,
I was shooting drugs and homeless in Haight-Ashbury in 1967. Breaking into abandoned houses. I was, you know, a homeless person before a whole lot of people who are homeless today were. So I've been there.
Right.
And I come, you know, kind of picked myself up by my bootstraps with a lot of grace, with a lot of support from Spirit. And I want to just really own that I've had a number of opportunities to get in touch with the truth of who I am through what could be seen as really really powerful experiences. For example, my best friend was killed in a motorcycle accident when we were 18. And it was several weeks later, in the midst of my really deep grief and not having any idea how to deal with all those feelings. I didn't have any models for that.
Right.
That he started showing up in my dreams so vividly. So real that I would wake up from one of those dreams and lie there thinking that I had just been with him, and then my rational mind would step in and go, no, he's dead. And then I go, yeah, but there's something going on. I got to figure this out. And that really started a lifelong quest to understand more about the spirit world and the connection to the infinite mind and the infinite heart, and how there really is a part of us that goes on, and that when we step out of time, we have access to lives and people's experiences and wisdom that has nothing to do with this particular moment in time on Earth. I'm sure you're familiar with that.
Oh, absolutely. And the concept of it, And I tell people that dream states are more than just random thoughts of the mind, that for many people they are their reality. For many people, their dreams are their reality. This is just something they've just kind of volunteered for when they wake up. And it's a matter of accessing those, you know, some people call it other dimensions, parallel universes, whatever they may be, whatever you want to call them. But the dream state is a very powerful, powerful thing. And it can be very, in your case, as an example, it was extraordinarily helpful to you because it gave you that knowingness that there was something beyond when you woke up and your eyes were open and you operated in this reality.
That's true. You know, I had spent some time when I was homeless and shooting drugs and very, very depressed and nearly killing myself, quite literally.
Sure.
That I was absolutely convinced that I was an atheist and that there was no God and no hope and no help. And these experiences with my friend changed my life, really deeply changed my life. And now, for example, I've had the experience of having a number of people I've known, some very closely, including my father, who passed away almost exactly a year ago. And these people have all come into my dreams, and we've all spent really great time together. And I've had these amazing conversations with my father where we both know in the dream that he's passed from the earthly plane. And in that space of the dream, we're able to connect at such a profound level with tears in our eyes and hugging each other and knowing that it's all right and that he's really proud of me. I'm really happy for me, and then I know, and I must say this is not about faith or belief for me, it's an absolute, utter knowing that he is so much more than fine, that he is home, that he is so well and so, so loved, and that I can miss him, and I do, and I have tears, and I have my feelings, all of which I honor profoundly.
Oh, yeah.
And which I talk about in the book, that is how important it is to honor all of our feelings and to feel them fully, because, of course, a feeling fully felt always shifts and no longer takes energy to keep from feeling.
You know, and I'm glad you brought that up because, you know, there's a lot of people that think that that's a, you know, sign of weakness, and I've always said, no, it's a sign of strength when you can really connect with whatever it is, you know, whatever the emotion is, whatever the feeling is, if you can connect with it, because only then and only then can you decide whether or not it serves you or doesn't serve you. Because if it feels good, then it's probably good. And if it doesn't feel good, then it's probably something that you need to work through so that you can let go of it.
You're right, Rebecca, and I couldn't agree more. I think that working through it is the key here.
Yeah.
I'm really glad to hear you say that, because if we don't feel them in appropriate ways, if we don't express them through our body, because really it's in our bodies where our emotions live, then we're going to lock this trauma, these wounds, these stories into cellular memory and spend an enormous amount of the energy that would otherwise be available to live our lives passionately and openly with great joy, kind of sitting on these feelings and stuffing them.
Right.
And our culture, it really doesn't give us many models for how to feel our feelings in appropriate, healthy, responsible ways, so that actually, when we felt whatever feelings are up, we can think more clearly. And the wisdom that's available to us, including the vast wisdom that pours out of every one of our hearts, is available to us to listen to and to feel guided by and held by.
Oh, I agree. And, you know, we start that process, by the way, with our children.
Yes.
When they're young, with their feelings and how to appropriately express them and not express them. And you're right, we don't have good models. We really don't. So that's a challenge to those of you who are out there listening. Let's see if we can't create some models for the young ones, so that they don't have to spend all the time like Tom and like Steve and myself and everyone else out there are doing.
Well, you know, Rebecca, this is a good point to mention something to you. My wife and I happen to be blessed with being part of a nonprofit organization, a nationwide organization, that's called Challenge Day. in just a second.
Okay, so we're going to wait for Steve to come back.
Sorry about that. A switch just got inadvertently hit.
No problem. I was, you know, I'm telling you, it's been a day for that. It's all good.
This is fascinating. Yeah, we just got to keep, you know, it's as I keep saying, it's not what is, it's how we are with what is.
That's right.
So we can keep a laugh and keep it lighthearted, and it's all good.
It is. There's nothing so serious that's happening here that we can't get past it.
There
for
you
sure.
go, Rebecca. That's a great laugh.
Oh, I love it. Thank you.
Well, anyhow, this challenge day, and for people who are interested, it's challengeday.org, O-R-G. And the founders, friends of ours, Rich and Yvonne, were just on Oprah, actually.
Ah.
And this is an organization that goes into high schools and middle schools all over the country, literally touching the lives of tens of thousands of young people a year, and teaches them something about emotional literacy and about the damage that being stuck in cliques and how much making fun of other people and getting our emotions out in inappropriate ways through bullying or cutting or drugs or alcohol can be, and how what a hugely healthier school kids can be in if they start taking responsibility for being there and reaching out to others rather than keeping them apart. So we're really going gangbusters.
Well, I'd actually like to put that address on my website, if that's okay.
Oh, that would be awesome.
Because I think that's just wonderful. I'll do a little write-up. That's absolutely powerful. I've said that we need to get into the school systems, and we need to do that. And, you know, most of the time, and I think this is a true statement, Steve, is that most of the time that children lash out and they bully, they do those kind of things because they don't know how to effectively express themselves, or maybe they feel pain or they feel wounded, and it's about getting to the root of the issue, because their reactions are such that they may not be appropriate or even belong to a certain situations, but it's how they let you know that they're unhappy, that there's something that's not working well for them.
That's a great point, Rebecca. In fact, I can tell you from having been to dozens of these challenge days, and my wife and I, my wife recently retired from teaching at a public high school, and we have started what's known as a Circle of Change, which is a local challenge day group that helps raise funds to bring challenge day to local schools.
And hang on, don't, we'll come right back, Steve,
okay.
And finish that thought. You guys, stay with us. We're going to be back with Drunk with Wonder and Steve Riles in just a moment. Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and the learning the ways of the Creator. Your Never-Ending Life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and the superior spirit. For more information on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, and online at Amazon.com.
Fate Magazine, providing true reports of the strange and unknown. Keep up with the latest on angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, life after death, and much, much more. To receive your free issue of Fate Magazine, call now. 800-728-2730 or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730 or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate awaits.
Have questions about your love life or your job? Get your private psychic reading from Rebecca. Call to schedule an appointment at 1-888-958-2768. That number again is 1-888-958-2768.
Check out Rebecca's website for the latest Journeys news and more. Log on to www.journeyswithrebecca.com.
Welcome back, and we're here with Steve Riles, and we're talking about Drunk with Wonder, Awakening to the God Within. We had a wonderful first segment there, Steve. We talked a lot about emotions, and I kind of want to carry that through a little bit, because in one of the chapters in your book, it's entitled Gratitude and Adrenaline. And then, of course, there was another one that I hope we get to. It's called Grace is Your Birthright. But right now, I'd like to talk about gratitude and adrenaline.
Okay, great, Rebecca. Thanks. Let me give you just a little bit of background here. I've done quite a bit of research on emotions. They've been fascinating to me for much of my life. And I've come to find out that with the latest scientific research has placed our deepest emotions, the fear or panic, rage, or anger, the seeking reflex, the separation anxiety, and of course lust, or the urge to procreate. These five emotions actually come out of what we call the reptilian brain. Some of your readers may not be aware that we actually have what's called a triune or three-part brain. The reptilian brain sits on the top of our brain stem and controls some of our most basic behaviors. Surrounding that is our mammalian brain, which our distant ancestors had been using for tens of millions of years. And only very, very recently, from an evolutionary perspective, the cerebral cortex, that which makes us human, gives us the capability of language and so on, is sitting on top of the mammalian brain. So we can be, you know, going along about our day-to-day business and hear like a really sharp bang or something. And, you know, people use the phrase, well, I just jumped out of my skin.
Right.
And that comes from this fight or flight, this really, really deep place in our brain that we don't have any conscious connection with. It just, you know, it comes from those days when we were out in the bush, and if we heard a big cat cough behind us, we needed to be up a tree, and then we could have time to think about what was going on. But first we needed to be up the tree, so those instincts had to kick in pretty much instantaneously. What's going on in our culture today, most of us are not at risk of being killed on a daily basis, thank goodness. And yet we still have these reflexes. So if you look at extreme sports, hang gliding, parachuting, people who get into very scary situations, it might be gangs, it might be the police force or the fire department or the military. You know, there's a very deep sense that the most potently alive people can ever feel is when they're at any moment, the possibility of death is right in their face.
Right.
So my intent with Drunk with Wonder is to help our planet literally begin to turn and evolve away from some of these very primitive ways of feeling this adrenaline rush, and to really make a clear point that gratitude, unconditional love, ecstasy, joy, bliss, the love of a child for its parent or vice versa, the love of spiritual community, all of these kinds of activities and feelings and experiences can give us a great rush of adrenaline. In fact, they do. But what we're programmed in by our culture is to be in fear. Because when we live in fear, we can be controlled quite easily.
Right.
Not to get off on a big political rant, but if you take a look at what's been going on in our current administration, you can see a group of people who have been fixated on scaring the living daylights out of as many people as they can, and then telling us that they'll protect us.
Right.
And a whole lot of it's been completely made up, as it's becoming clearer and clearer every day. It's just a story they told us to scare us, like, you know, the boogeyman's going to get you, we'll take care of you. And the truth is, the more we we come into our hearts and open to the truth of who we are, the less there is to fear. Because when we come from a place of unlimited abundance and unlimited love, then we realize that instead of trying to carve up a specific size of a pie that only has so many pieces of it, and if you get one, then I don't get any, we live in an infinitely abundant, infinitely loving universe where there are as many slices of loving pie, if you will, as many slices of joy and ecstasy and fun as there are people to enjoy them. There's no shortage. Does that make sense?
Oh, I couldn't agree with you more. I absolutely could not agree with you more. And I can tell you from my own self is that we get stuck in this illusion that there's a finite number of anything, when in fact it's infinite. But the programming sits so far deep-seated in many of us, we can't get past the illusion.
That's right. And the payoff is that we get to stay stuck in the identity of who we think we are, which we talked about earlier in the program.
Exactly.
For me, there was a time in my life that I, honestly, Rebecca, I thought I was going to die drinking.
Right.
I was so locked into my identity as a drinker. You know, I was a partier. I was cool. This is, you know, what cool people did. You know, it was really lame to be straight. And, you know, I had this amazing story. And the truth is, since I've quit drinking, I've had more fun, enjoyed my life more, enjoyed my beautiful relationship with my beloved more. I now have a granddaughter. I'm living a life that was completely off the end of my dreams. I mean, out on another side, past anything I ever thought was possible. And I did it because I was finally willing to jump off the cliff of my fears into the unknown and try out a new identity. I mean, you know, what did I have to lose? I was killing myself with booze anyhow.
Right, exactly. So it can only go uphill.
That's right.
Absolutely. Well, that kind of brings us to the next thing about grace.
Uh-huh.
Grace is our birthright.
Grace is our birthright.
So, but that word has always been a word for me. You know how everyone has their little things. This is one of my little things. Whenever I hear the word grace, I have a feeling, and it's a warm feeling. It's a feeling that's conceptual. It doesn't fit in any known feeling that I've actually ever had. But every time I hear that word grace, I get this feeling, and it is a good feeling.
Yes, I'm reminded of one of my favorite mythic figures, some energy that I invoke on a regular basis. Many of your listeners are probably familiar with Kuan Yin, Lady Kuan Yin.
Yes.
Who's the Chinese goddess of mercy and compassion and forgiveness.
Yes.
And when I think of grace, I think of those three qualities, mercy and compassion and forgiveness. And I would add unconditional love. You see, grace is this amazingly magic place where all of who we thought we were can be dissolved without needing to exculpate our sins or even call them sins. When we can see that the things we've done in our lives, the people we've hurt, the steps we have not taken that we wished we had, all of these are wrapped up in the story that we were raised with. Many of us were raised with a story that goes something like, I'm not good enough.
Yes.
I don't have enough. I just don't have what it takes. I tried once or twice or three or four or 15 or 20 times and I lost. And it hurt so much when I didn't get what I wanted, when my passion got shut down or shot down or laughed at, that I just closed down because I was so scared of being hurt again.
Yes.
And here I am, this really beautiful, innocent child, really at our core, that's who we all are.
Yes.
And I've got this really massive shield around me. And nobody's going to get through that and I'm just going to stay here because at least maybe I can survive in here. But, you know, we can't really thrive there. And so there's this sense when we can connect with it, with our hearts, with the true, huge, infinite heart of God Goddess that is not separate from who we are. And we can open to that divine grace. What we find, what we begin to feel, is all of our stories about how we aren't good enough and all these mistakes we made and all these problems just dissolve because we realize they're just stories. They're just stories we made up or stories we were told. They aren't real. What's real is the love of God. The love that we have for each other, for our family and for friends, and ultimately for ourselves and this planet. And that's where grace can come in, is this place of going, you know what? I'm going to let go of my story that I'm not good enough. I know I can make a difference in the world. It is my birthright to shine with all the light of God, just like it is everyone else's birthright. And no matter how brightly I shine, I'm not taking any light away from anyone else. So I'm going to go out and live a full life.
Well,
and I can do it because grace is my birthright.
And, you know, here's my feeling, is that if you have a bright light that shines, it seems to attract others and allows others then to feel comfortable about shining their light as well.
Well, it's true. And I imagine a number of your readers, you may have even spoken about this amazing movie that came out last year called The Secret.
Yes.
And The Secret is about the law of attraction.
Yes.
And that has to do precisely with what you think about or what you dwell on, you attract. And that means that if we're stuck in this negative thought pattern of I'm not good enough, oh, I'm a victim. Oh, that's a big one, you know.
Oh, yeah, that's why I wasn't going to bring that up, because that's like a whole show all by itself, the victim thing.
Oh, when we get to play victim, and oh my goodness, I've done that.
Oh, yeah.
My share, and probably three or four other people's.
Yeah.
I get to, it's another way of getting to stay stuck without
sure.
having to do anything different, because it's all somebody else's fault, and if only they would change, then I'd be fine.
Yeah, or if only this happened, or if this person would have done that, if, you know, if they would have, it's always, you know, you always take the responsibility off self.
Meanwhile, have another beer.
Yeah, really, or whatever.
Yeah, or whatever.
Exactly. Exactly.
We can do almost literally anything. I'll spend another hour at work. I'll, you know, whatever it is, because ultimately what we're doing is we're either living life fully, filled with grace, filled with mercy and compassion and forgiveness and joy and wonder and excitement and passion, or we're living a little closed down, contracted existence where our story is that it's dangerous out there.
Yes.
It's not safe. And I got to be hunkered down. And oh, gosh, I've spent time there. And I have such compassion for all people who spend time in that place. And my invitation with Drunk with Wonder and with this conversation with you, Rebecca, is to take a risk. Take a chance and step out of your comfort zone and see that there is this infinitely precious world out there where there is beauty and joy and wonder in every moment.
In every moment and in everything, if we choose to look at it that way.
That's right.
And Steve, before we run out of time here today, there's a couple of pieces of information that you want to give to all of the listeners out there, how to get a hold of the book, how to get a hold of your website, all of that good stuff. I'm just so excited, and I will be having you back on, and we'll talk some more. But go ahead, if you will, and take this opportunity to let people know how to get a hold of the book and to go to your website.
Okay, great, Rebecca. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Well, no, thank you.
My book, Drunk with Wonder, Awakening to the God Within, is available by calling 800-247-6553. And I'll repeat that. It's 800-247-6553. And we take Bell 4 credit cards and 24/7 just ask for Drunk with Wonder. You can also go to our website, which is www.drunkwithwonder.com. drunkwithwonder, no spaces, .com, www.drunkwithwonder.com.
For 58 years, Fate has provided true reports of the strange and unknown. Fate is a factual magazine containing articles by experts in all walks of life and by others just like you who have something dramatic, significant, and truthful to say. Keep up with the latest on all aspects of the paranormal, angels and miracles, psychic phenomena, ghosts, UFOs, and much, much more. To receive your free Fate magazine, call now, 800-728-2730, or visit our website at www.fatemag.com. That's 1-800-728-2730, or www.fatemag.com. What are you waiting for? Your fate waits.
Do you want to understand more of the nature of the universe? Why is there billions of galaxies and trillions upon trillions of star systems in our known universe? Why do we sense we are eternal beings? Why do we have different personalities? Where do our emotions and dreams emanate from? Where do the visions of deja vu come from? Your Never-Ending Life Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series introduces the philosophical theory of universal learning. The theory of universal learning focuses on you, the never-ending eternal spirit, developing an understanding of the transcendent scale of the universe and the learning the ways of the Creator. Your Never-Ending Life explores such subjects as past lives, karma, emotional control, and superior spirit. For more information on this book, visit universallearningseries.com. Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series is available at Barnes & Noble, Borders, and online at Amazon.com.
Close your eyes and imagine you're on an unspoiled beach somewhere, sunlight streaming through the palm leaves. A paradise like this isn't easy to come by, but it does still exist. Because the Nature Conservancy works locally with people like you to save precious places around the world forever. That way, closing your eyes will never be the only way to get there. I'm Paul Newman. Help save the last great places.
Visit the Nature Conservancy at nature.org. Nature.org.
Email Rebecca with your comments to mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. You're listening to Journeys with Rebecca.
Welcome back, and you're listening to Journeys, and we are here with my very, very favorite resident astrologer, Nancy Miller Ogren. Welcome again to the show, my dear.
Thanks for having me.
Oh, this is so much fun. It's always so much fun to talk about all the astrological movements and all of that. And, you know, last month we talked about, for the month of January, we gave everyone that whole show on the 2007 overview, and I thought it was just absolutely fabulous, by the way. And I did want to mention, for those of you who might have missed that show, to please definitely check out the archives. And those archives are located at jwrradio.com, free of charge, as always, to the listeners of Journeys with Rebecca. All right, so we're moving right along in 2007. Whoa.
Yes,
it goes by faster and faster. It just does. So you're here to talk to us about February 1st and 2nd. So I'm going to kind of let you run with it right now, girl.
Well, I think it's exciting because I think we needed, and I did say this on the year end or year forward show. We have this wonderful Leo full moon coming up on the February 1st, 2nd, late February 1st into the 2nd. And I think it's going to be what really helps us feel like we're getting a grip and we're getting connected to what it is, all of the end of the year, whatever experiences we had, and stepping into, we had that Cancer new moon right at the beginning, the 3rd, and then we had the Capricorn new moon on the January 18, 19. And so now I think we're feeling like, okay, I want to feel excited. I want to, that Leo energy, I want to start something new. And I'll tell you something, being in Colorado, I'd want to start anything I could new and have it not have anything to do with snow.
And mine is ice.
Yes. And I feel like I think we need this fire, literally, we need this fire to open our heart and warm us up and get us moving and have us feel like I'm looking to the future. I'm looking to what is it I'm going to do now, and how is it I want to see this, and how is it I want to open to this. And I really think it's also because of the fire, and again, because of kind of all of this weather, which is disconcerting to wherever it is. When it was warm in New York, they were nervous.
Right,
you know,
exactly.
When it's freezing in L.A., it makes people nervous because
yes.
It really, we know it's not something under our control. And this is where I think we have to really honor that body, mind, spirit. I think with Leo, it very much wants attunement. And so this is where you make the effort to go to an indoor pool, take a bath in warm, flowing water. Do things that make you feel back in that fire and flow, and that you feel like you've got so much to look forward to. What do you want to have happen? Take a step. Anywhere, make that phone call, anything that you can do to feel like you're taking your present into your future and that you're excited because it's a full moon. You're affirming that you have tools to take life forward. I think we've spent too many years behaving as though somebody has to get us out of the state we're in. And the only person who can get us out of any state is ourselves.
And that is so true. That is absolutely so true. And, you know, I like your recommendation about, you know, getting into something, doing something warm, especially for those that are experiencing cold weather and even in the places that are normally not cold and they're experiencing cold weather. It's a wonderful opportunity to warm yourself, and as you do, it warms your heart, warms your mind and spirit and soul. Now is the perfect time to do that because it does make you feel rejuvenated. Even if it is a softer energy, it's still a rejuvenation. It's still that fire that we're looking for. And fire and warmth makes us feel buoyant. It makes us feel energetic. It makes us feel comfortable. And
exactly.
So there you go.
Exactly. And again, with Leo, you're really activating that. What are you looking forward to creating? Whatever it is, it can be dinner, it can be elaborate, it can be a mural, it can be whatever you want it to be. But the idea that you've got to have that creative activity now. And to embrace this moon and say, I'm getting back on track. And I think, like I said, I think for everyone, I think from the holidays through January, it has been kind of trying to get order back and trying to find the direction forward and all of that. And so take Leo and say, I'm ready. I'm definitely ready. Leo loves to step up to not only a challenge. I used to think Leos made me weary because they always were up to a challenge. But I think we have to agree that it's time to get into that state and allow ourselves and offer ourselves something stimulating to be doing.
And absolutely. And, you know, while we're talking along the lines of taking action, let's talk about some of the things that you and I can do to help people out there. You guys out there that are listening, you can send Nancy and myself an email question, astrologically/intuitively directed, and we will answer for you one question right on the air, and we will email you back to let you know that we have received a request and when and that we will be doing your question and answering it on the air. So, mailbag@journeyswithrebecca.com. There's a link right there on the front page. Please send us your questions because we'd love to assist you. And, you know, it's not too late, Nancy, for you to also talk to people about your guide that you have, and I'd like you to share that information as well as how people can get a hold of you.
Absolutely. That would be the Moonways Guide, which is a calendar journal with each new moon and full moon of the month and information about it and all of that. And you can get that by email or going on my website, www.nancymillerogren.com, and you can see that and order it through the website if you want to. And I'd be happy to send that to you and get you on track. You make those affirmations on the full moons and those intentions on the new moons, and your life takes on a sense of order.
And purpose and direction.
Absolutely.
Purpose and direction, and that's the thing.
That's exactly
right,
what it's about.
And keep us focused. And you also do, as I do, a mailing list, but yours is a moon mailing list.
Yes, it is.
And I do want to let everyone know out there that Nancy nor myself do we distribute, sell, or otherwise give to anyone an email address if you would like to be on either the Journeys newsletter, which is right there on the front page of my website, and then Nancy's, you could sign up right on her website for the moon mailing. And you send that out, what, twice a month, right?
Yes, I do. Each moon, and it's free. And it's nancyogren@comcast.net. And you just say moon mailing in the subject, and you've got it.
All right. Absolutely excellent. Well, you know what, guys? The time is done here for us for a little bit today. But Nancy will be back in a couple weeks, so send us those emails. We look forward to them so much. And Nancy, thank you for being here with us. And
thanks for having me.
You guys, don't go away, and we'll be right back with more of Journeys in just a moment.
Call Rebecca and schedule your private reading. 888-95-TAROT. That's 888-958-2768. Where will your life journey take you?
Journeys with Rebecca is sponsored by Fate Magazine, providing true accounts of the strange and unknown for over 58 years. To receive your free copy of Fate Magazine, call 800-728-2730 or log on to fatemag.com.
Own the DVDs that Hollywood producers don't want you to see. ISPR investigates the Comedy Store, and ISPR investigates Crest Hill Mansion, both featuring well-known psychics Derek Acora, Peter James, and Linda McKenzie, showcasing their psi abilities interacting with earthbound entities in full, raw, and uncensored ISPR investigative footage from 1999. The new ISPR DVDs are available at JourneysWithRebecca.com and makes the perfect gift for yourself or the paranormal enthusiast on your list.
Tolerance is accepting someone before they walk through the door.
No matter what their background, their religion, their lifestyle.
It's about accepting people for who they are as individuals.
Their culture, their family, their tradition.
Tolerance is celebrating the diversity that makes us great.
Tolerance. Honor the differences. Picture a world of respect. Visit tolerance.org to learn more.
Get your personal and private reading from Rebecca. To schedule an appointment, call 1-888-95-TAROT. That's 1-888-958-2768. Find out where your life's journeys will take you.
What a wonderful show. I do hope you enjoyed it. A reminder to check out my website. That's JourneysWithRebecca.com. And please, email me. Tell me what you thought of today's show. That's mailbag@JourneysWithRebecca.com. A special thanks to the sponsors of Journeys, Fate Magazine since 1948. Fate is the longest-running publication of its kind. You can find out more at FateMag.com. Also, Your Never-Ending Life, Book 1 of the Universal Learning Series by Sandy Andrews. To find out more about him, go to universallearningseries.com. Thanks so much for listening. We'll see you next time. Blessings to each and every one of you. And goodbye for now.